Good morning. I'm Sarah Lynn Keller, the Director of Spiritual Vitality and Congregational Care, and I welcome you to worship this morning with the First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus and pray that by our worship, we may all now be the blessing of the new beginning that our loving God has in store for us. I extend a warm welcome to all of you who are joining us today virtually through our live-streamed worship. We can all rest in the blessing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are together and remain connected as the one body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, this community of faith warmly welcomes you to join us today. We have a few announcements today. First, I'd like to thank our worship leaders, and a special thank you to Hank Sredder and Randy Brewer for worship production, and to the staff of Natick Pegasus that makes this virtual worship possible. And there's a slight change to our interim time this January because Elaine Gaetani, who was due to serve as our bridge pastor for the month, became ill and cannot fulfill that contract. So, of course, we extend prayers of healing and wellness to Elaine and her husband, Steve. But that gives us this chance to have a variety of voices leading worship and providing the sermon each Sunday. And we look forward to these new and fresh perspectives in this cold and snowy season. And today we welcome the Reverend Gail Wright to our pulpit. And Gail graduated from Harvard Divinity School in 2001 and has served in interim and settled roles as associate pastor at various Metro West UCC churches, including Littleton and Bedford. She's been a member of the UCC Massachusetts Conference Task Force on Ecumenical and Interfaith Relations. And she worked in financial services before being ordained, and she also worked on LGBTQ justice issues. She lives in Sudbury, has two grown sons, and is blessed by a daughter-in-law and a two-year-old grandson. So welcome, Gail. We're so happy to have you with us today. And don't hesitate to contact the Reverend Dr. John Wegraff for any pastoral care needs you may have during the month of January. John is the outreach minister for First Church and is available for pastoral care until Reverend Andy Burr begins as our interim pastor in February. Now, later on in today's worship, we invite you to have a candle prepared and ready so that you may light a candle with us as the worship leaders light the Christ candle here in the sanctuary. And just a reminder that we invite you to send in prayer requests of concern or celebration. And if we receive those prayers by email before the end of the reflection, we will include those in our morning prayer that happens right after the reflection. So you can send those emails to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And today, after our worship service, we invite you to join us to in a post-worship fellowship, which is an informal virtual gathering over Zoom where we can greet one another and perhaps discuss Gail's sermon or just what you have planned for dinner this evening. We have lively conversations. There's always good fun and laughter as well. So we invite you to join us on Zoom. The link is available in the weekly link emailing that went out both Friday and this morning. And are you ready to get in the... Oh, well, no, I had it out of order. So I want to invite you also to join us for Monday, tomorrow at 10 a.m. The town of Natick has a wonderful community celebration of the life of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it is a virtual event this year again. It will be wonderful, really packed with great things from our school system and all sorts of town leaders and community partners. So we hope you can join us for that celebration beginning at 10 a.m. You can find that streaming on Pegasus. So, are you ready to get in the game? Are you ready for Super Bowl 2022? Well, this is the end of the first quarter. We now have made it partway through, and let's see where we are. So, the Penguins, if you live south of Route 135, have raised $294 so far. The polar bears, those people living north of Route 135, have raised $411 so far. So we are doing really, really well. All of this money will be going to provide food to the Natick Service Council. And just remember, if you live north of Route 135, you're a polar bear. If you live south of Route 135, you're a penguin. You can go to yougivegoods.com/NaticSuperBowl2022 to get in the game and donate food. So we hope that you'll all get into this fun competition. And now let us gather our hearts together as we celebrate together and light our candles, remembering as we receive the light of the Spirit that we are the light of the world, called to make that light shine forth. Please join us in the responsive call to celebration. Creator Spirit, wellspring of our lives,
you know our injustice. Refresh us with your mercy.
As the stream flows steadily on, defying all the odds of stone and water,
flow over every boundary and border that separates us from each other.
As the waters of our baptism washed us and welcomed us,
renew us now in the newness of life and unity of love.
As we were once held in the waters of our mother's womb,
hold us in the power and peace of your abiding presence.
Join me in the opening prayer as we say together, loving God, you have led us to this place, not to shield us from heartache and the pain of human life, but to heal us and inspire us, to gently redirect us till we see the world as you do and love it with your love. Amen. I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with one another by extending your hand out like this or placing your hands over your heart. You could also bow with and say with a sign of namaste, which means that the divine in me sees the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Peace.
We have been given much by our God, and we hope that your feelings of goodness and generosity will lead you to remain a generous contributor to our church's mission and ministry. You can mail a check to the church or make an online gift through our church website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall have mercy." May our gifts today be given in gratitude from a merciful heart. Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you today for the abundant gifts you give us. May you receive our offerings as signs that we intend to live surrounded by your mercy, inspired by your Spirit, open to the joy of your presence, with hospitality to each other, and with generosity towards your world. Amen. Our first scripture reading today comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the prophet Amos, beginning, chapter 5 in Amos, verses 18 through 24. "Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies, even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like the waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." And continuing in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Here ends our readings for today. May they be the word of God for the people of God. There was once this country that was increasingly prosperous. The many successful people furnished their large homes with beautiful items, wore expensive clothes and jewelry, and ate imported delicacies. They saw themselves as faithful people of God who worshiped regularly. There were some hostile countries around, and there were also many poor people, and they had little power. Instead of addressing the problems of people who were sick, disabled, elderly, children with no families, hungry people, well, the rich just continued to get richer by actions that increasingly oppressed and exploited people. Which is why in this passage in Amos, God is so angry. Yes, my story is not about the United States in 2022. I'm talking about Israel during the time of the prophet Isaiah, about 800 years before Jesus was born. But it just might sound a little familiar. Israel's leaders comforted themselves by thinking that as God's people, they were on the side of good. They thought that if anything really threatened their country, God would intervene decisively through one giant battle between good and evil, and good, them, of course, would win and all problems would be fixed. The final lines in this passage were favorites of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and were used so often by him in sermons and speeches and for inspiration that many of the memorials of him and his work make use of water. However, in order to understand these words and really hear what King and God were actually trying to say about justice, we need to start by getting uncomfortable. Before the flowing water image, there is some frightening imagery. Using violence, says Amos, results in situations where you are running from a lion, but you are running towards an equally dangerous bear. Or as though you run for safety into a house only to encounter a poisonous snake. Violence to solve problems, even wishing for God to be violent, says Amos, is gloom without brightness. Violence, says Amos, always results in other violence. Instead, Amos offers his people another image, that of justice rolling down like waters. Perhaps, however, you have pictured an unlikely God-given faucet turned on to wash and make everything clean and new. Or you thought of God sending floodwaters of justice to sweep away, uproot, and transform. But floods are violent and leave huge amounts of destruction in their wake. Our hope, says Amos, is God's vision of righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Now, I am privileged that my family has a second home in Western Massachusetts on a lake. On one side of the property is a stream. Often, it is only a gentle trickle. But with last summer's rain, the stream roared. The water rolled fast over and over against the rocks, stirring up the lake and pushing branches and even huge old tree stumps out into it. Over the years, the stream has carved a channel in the lake bottom, far out into its center. When in the fall, the dam on the lake is opened and the water level drops, you can see that the channel is almost 12 feet deeper than the rest of the lake. You can see that over time, the ongoing flowing water has smoothed the jagged edges of the rocks and tumbled loose rocks, moving them and transforming them, breaking them down gradually into tiny grains of sand. And that, says Amos and Martin Luther King Jr., is what God offers and wants. Our hope comes by acting and living in such a way that we create an ever-flowing stream of justice and righteousness. Justice and righteousness are God words. God words directing God's people to live with the compassion of God who has delivered the oppressed from bondage, of God who Desmond Tutu writes, "We don't need to impress. God already loves you, and God will love you forever and ever. Loved and freed by God, we are to love like God by practicing justice and righteousness. And the measurement of righteousness and justice throughout both the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament is how we treat those who society considers the least important, children and people with no family, people who are sick physically or mentally, or disabled or too old to work, the stranger, the non-citizen, or the outsider, those who are poor, who are in prison, those who serve others. And that's the hopeful image that Amos offers. The hopeful image that King was inspired by, the image of God's people being a stream of right living, practicing justice over and over until the sharp rocks are smoothed, the dead wood is moved, a pathway is carved, and even big boulders of inequality are broken down into tiny grains of sand. We are the stream. Our actions of making sure everyone is housed and treated with respect, everyone has daily bread, everyone is cared for and protected from harm, our actions are the stream. And like a stream, those actions have to keep flowing over and over and over. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. never promised that he and his actions would completely clean up racial and economic inequality any more than Amos promised that God would turn on a faucet of righteous water. What both promised is that we have the ability to make our society more like God's society by being the stream, by living our God's radical love for all. Of course we become angry when our candidate fails to deliver the big change, or we get angry that racism still taints our society. When my late husband got multiple sclerosis and had his mobility impaired, I started noticing that in spite of the Americans with Disability Law, curb cuts were missing. And he often couldn't enter buildings, including churches. And I was angry. I was angry again this week as I walked around and noticed all the curb cuts blocked by hardened snow. So I get the anger. But what Amos would tell me to do is take a deep breath and go act with compassion. Go get a shovel. Go organize neighbors to also get shovels, call my government officials, maybe vote to raise my taxes, or vote to require businesses to clean the curb cuts of snow. Water is how we are baptized, how we are formally marked by God's love. Jesus in water from the Jordan River, adorable babies cooing and crying, dribbled or marked by warm water from a faucet. But as Jesus headed off to take up his ministry, he may have worried about hearing God call him beloved son. That phrase was first used for Isaac, whose father Abraham was told to offer him as a sacrifice. Baptism begins Jesus' ministry with both a sense of love and belonging and the shadow of danger and death. Jesus has just been washed in and marked by the waters of God's love and knows he is heading off, in the words of John Lewis, to get into good trouble. At the moment of baptism, Jesus' baptism, and our baptism, we are marked by a formal promise that God will always love us no matter who we are. And then, like Jesus, we are sent off to do ministry, to be the waters of justice. Like the waters in my stream, our righteousness needs to flow over and over, sometimes in big crashing waves fed by lots of rain, and sometimes just by a tiny but ongoing dribble. It flows when we do big things like vote for politicians and laws and make decisions about how we use our money. It rolls hard and roars when we make a lot of noise about big problems, but it also gradually breaks down the rocks of oppression and inequality and digs a channel for justice when we keep doing little things. Little things like shoveling for people we don't know, visiting people in prison, helping an immigrant family, getting vaccinated to protect others, or exploring the situation who have been oppressed. The image in front of you is of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s gravesite with its flowing streams of water. And so today, especially, I want to encourage all of us to be the stream of righteousness and justice with our big and our very little moment-to-moment, person-to-person daily actions. But I also want to remind everyone that the stream of justice is not just for someone else. The stream belongs to all of us, and we are all invited. Jesus is stretching out his hands, so wade right in and be and experience the water of God's love. Amen. We gather today in the spirit of prayer. We have received some requests virtually, and we will start by reminding everyone to continue to pray prayers of healing for Elaine and Steve Gaetani. Prayers are requested for friends and family of Michael Watson, who passed away this week after a long battle with addiction. And prayers for all people battling addiction and mental health issues. Let us be in prayer. God of truth and justice, fountain of compassion and love, you share deeply our joys and our crushing sorrows. You hear the cries of those struggling with illness, grief, and oppression. You seek to guide our broken world to goodness and healing. Hear the places in our lives, hearts, and world that we lift up to you today. Those we have just named, and places like Congregation Beth Israel in Texas, the medical community and hospitals near and around the world, the people in our country whose lives continue to be afflicted by racism and inequality, and the many places and individuals we hold in our hearts, sometimes so closely that we cannot even utter their name. Give us, we pray, eyes to see the injustice and oppression around us. Give us your discernment that we may accurately name what is evil and know the way that leads to justice. Give us the strength to do what is right and the courage to suffer the consequence. Fill and inspire us today with your all-embracing love, God. Help us follow the way of Jesus and be empowered by the transforming love of the Spirit, that we and all your children may live and be free. These things we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, go, remembering the words of someone who clearly contributed to the ever-flowing stream of righteousness, Desmond Tutu. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. And may God, the Creator, bless you. May God, the Son, walk with you. May God, the Spirit, lead your lives with love. Amen.